Amen. I love you too, Mommy.
For the last, I don't know, couple months or whatever, I've been fighting the spirit of timidity. Like, you know how you get stage fright or you don't know what to say or this and that. It started like when we were at Cape Capon, like on a Wednesday night, we went for a Bible study. There was only like four or five of us, but it was like Andy and Tama and Lisa. And at the end of it, Lisa said, "Terry, can you say a prayer?" You know how you get like that deer in the headlights look? I was like, "No, I can't say I can't do that or whatever." So I just wanted to take a shot at just saying a few things. But like in the Bible says in 2 Timothy, it says, "God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind." And this past week, God gave me a word that said, He gave it, I mean, I'm not a big guy on God told me this and God said that to me, but He does lay things on your heart. The thing he gave me was keep a reminder. So, like, this past week I had, in my Bible, I had, like, these flowers. Have you ever, do you remember the most beautiful flower you've ever seen or the one that, the most beautiful smell that you've ever smelled? Do you keep, like, a reminder of it or? Have that smell and then now it's gone, or that memory of that flower. But I kept these little flowers and they were for like 3 or 4 years ago, but they're still like a reminder of that smell. And there was like those feelings that you had when God's presence was so intense and fervent in your mind, and so you would keep a reminder. So if you don't mind, I'd like to read a little thing. Back in 2007, I went to India, and when I went there, I kept like a journal of all the things we did during the day and all that good stuff. And I just like to read that one day. Like whenever I read it, it brings me right back to that same day. So if you would, just like pass that around. That's what I'm talking about. It was like on a Friday, and I wrote in the journal, "This was an unbelievable day, all day Friday. Friday morning, this is the day I've been waiting for since Court invited me to India. I got up at 4:30 a.m. after breakfast. Court, George, and myself, Pradeep," and I wrote funny man, he's like a little comedy guy, "will be heading to P. Sanjeeva Rao's church located in Navaratnagaruvu. I may not show much emotion at this time, but I can feel the nervous energy building. It was about 1.5 hour drive to get there. We were greeted out along the road before we got to his church and / home. What happened next was truly a once in a lifetime experience. The group of us and many Indian church members, along with Sanjeeva and his wife, walked over to where Sanjeeva plans to build his new church. He has bought a small tract of land that is gorgeous. Then they had dug a square hole. There were bricks and some mortar beside the hole. Through George interpreting, Sanjeeva wanted me to put the first brick in the hole to start the cornerstone. Then Court put one in, then George put one in, then I was asked to pray over a bottle of oil and put God's anointment on this building and the whole project. Then we put mortar down, laid 3 more bricks, more mortar, 3 more bricks. After that, we prayed again for more of God's blessings on Sanjeeva's plans for new hope in his community. His church was close by, and along the road, people lined up waiting to hear God's message as they followed the vehicles. I was overwhelmed by the love I felt for Sanjeeva, his family, and the villagers that were there. After the ceremony, we ate and had fellowship with Sanjeeva and his family. He was much appreciative of the gifts he received. After goodbyes, we headed to G. David Rehu's church. It was not far away. Upon arriving, I learned they were dedicating the church on this day. Warm and friendly welcome. Court cut the ribbon after a prayer in front of one door. Then I said a prayer of dedication and cut the ribbon in front of another door. The music was beautiful. The people were friendly. The service was good and very long. I was getting tired. When it was over, George, Court, and myself laid hands and prayed over every single soul that was there. We headed home after arriving. I went straight to bed. Hallelujah. And then, like today, the things I do to keep the reminder, it sounds crazy, but I like transcribe stuff off Facebook, and I have all these different sayings and quotes and scriptures, and hopefully one day it'll be encouragement and a reminder to someone who feels hopeless. And Tammy thinks, yeah, I hope you guys kind of would, if you want one of these, I got like 30 of them. And they're like 180-page things. So, I mean, it takes a long time to fill one of them notebooks out. But Tammy said nobody would ever read it. She said nobody will ever read those things. So if y'all would like one, I mean, I would love to give y'all one that has all, I mean, it'd be great for like just encouragement. And if you ever want to be a preacher, it has like little things that you can pick out to make sermons out of. You know what I mean? So would you like a notebook? just take one. Damn, she said she'd take one. So I don't know if you guys have you guys ever heard of Yogi Berra?
Yeah.
Not the cartoon guy. Player, he was a catcher for the New York Yankees. He had a saying that said, everybody's heard it, I think, it ain't over till it's over. But when you translate it into spiritual, it's like your situation is not finished until God says it's finished. Now, I know everybody's heard of the Dallas Cowboys. And there was they had a coach named Jimmy Johnson. Tammy knows him from Survivor. Yeah. That's the only way she knows him or whatever, but he was like a really good football coach. And he said that fatigue makes cowards of all of us. And whatever season of life we find ourselves in, God gives us his power and strength to see us through. And then I'd just like to finish with a Bible verse from Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And I thank you very much for your time. But that you want the transcripts?
Let me just pick up from there. Amen. Isaiah 40 is one of my favorite verses. Was my mom's as well. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. I want us to just take a moment. I just got a message from Angie Brumball, and she's having a rough day. She's having some nausea and sickness. So let's just pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I send the power of your Holy Spirit to Angie right now. God, because we know that you can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can even ask or think. And Lord, we declare and decree that your word is true. Lord, and we stand in faith believing with her, God, that you are going to cause her to rise up, Father, in so many ways. Touch the nausea, touch the pain, Father, and touch the mobility of her body to give her wholeness in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I wanted to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving, gratitude, and thankfulness today. You know, and I shared some things already, but how many of you in here are thankful for something today?
Yeah.
Anybody have a word of testimony or anything that you want to share for thankfulness? Terry shared his testimony this morning. Anybody else have a testimony or something you want to give thanks for this morning?
I'm very thankful.
Right.
And then he does it, and then you're so surprised. And then you shake yourself and you say, oh.
Wow.
Wow. God,
yeah.
You're doing it. So
amen.
I just wanted to give God praise this morning for those things he's working on.
Amen. Amen. Don't give up on those prayers. Amen. Faith and hope are married. Amen. To bring miracles and promises. And even when we don't see it working, we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to the promise. That he's with us in the mountaintop and he's with us in the valley. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's a faithful God. Amen. Anybody else want to give a testimony this morning? Yep. Scars. Yeah. Amen.
And there's so much truth in that song.
Yes. Scars in heaven.
My mother's life, our lives, of what people go through. And I'm just thankful because, you know, just like a lot of people, we have a lot, but God put me where I am, made me who I am.
Yes, he did. Right.
But I was talking to a guy at work the other day, and I've had peace through all this.
Yeah.
You know, because I think the last thing I told him was, you can fight this, we can do what we want to do, but there's a power bigger than all of us.
Absolutely.
To control of what's happening.
Amen.
And we got to understand his will, and we got to trust that he's going to put us in the right place, just as he's done all of our lives. So I'm just thankful for everything.
Amen. 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 Anybody else want to give thanks? Amen. Absolutely. Amen. So are we. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Hold on to it. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And we hold on to that. Amen. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I give thanks for that this morning. Amen. It's a word of encouragement and a word of healing. You know, and I think sometimes we receive from God, and I want to talk about that a little bit. We receive from God, and we move on to the next thing, and then we have another petition before God. And I think we need to pause sometimes and remember, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
You know that prayer that I prayed for covering, or that prayer that I prayed for protection, or that prayer you answered. Thank you. And you know, sometimes we don't see things in the now. We see them in hindsight sometimes. And sometimes we don't understand even in the weaving of God and how things come about. And we look back and say, oh, God, that was you. You were working something big. You were working something powerful. You were orchestrating something. And I couldn't see you for the fear. I couldn't see you for the diagnosis. Or I couldn't see you for where I was. But yet bigger than that moment was something greater. that you were orchestrating. Am I the only one in the room that could say, yeah, Lord, I see it now. I see what you're doing. I see what you're bringing to pass. And we could all raise our hands in the room and say, it's been a crazy year. It's been a crazy couple years. Amen. But even, you know, when I was thinking about what to share this morning, and, you know, some things seem cliche, but yet they're not cliche. A thankful heart, a joyful heart, we talked about it, that is good medicine. Well, we can change our focus, and, you know, the difference sometimes between the believer and someone who doesn't understand is the faith to understand that God is working on our behalf. And yes, you know, we go through sickness sometimes. We go through some things, but thank God that he is there. You know, the scripture said he covers us with his feathers. And under his wings will I trust. His truth is my shield and buckler. That there's sometimes that in the midst of chaos, you just need to understand that he's got his wings wrapped around you and covered, and that you can trust what's underneath of his wings, and he gives us the strength and the grace and the hope to walk through whatever it is, and brings us out on the other side of death or sickness or mourning, and say, thank you, Lord, for every step that you walked with me, that you'll never leave me, you never forsake me. God's not ever forsaken anybody. He doesn't turn his back on you. He doesn't walk away from you. Amen. And then he loves you where you are and right now in this moment, that your steps are ordered of the Lord. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
And that sometimes his will and purpose in your life are more powerful even than your own actions or your own ability to make it come to pass. That's comforting to me. That God has purpose and calling and in our lives, and he orchestrates us and he puts us in strategic places to be a witness or to be an example or to remind us, to be reminders. How many get reminders of God's goodness in your life? Terry read us this morning of some reminders of God's goodness in our life. Sometimes it does you good to write down the dates in your Bible when God gives you a word or gives you a promise. And in my Bible, I've got a couple dates in there where I wrote down. I've got some prophetic words in the back that I copied in there because I want to remember the word of the Lord. And some of them may still need to come to pass, but some of them I can look back on and say, wow, God, look at you. Come on, somebody. Wow, God, look where you have brought me. Look where we are. Look where you answered that. That, it, to me, at the moment, seemed insurpassable. But God. Amen. And so I think that, you know, when we talk about one of the things that Joshua did when they got ready to cross over the Jordan. Remember that Moses was off, had, you know, was off the scene. Joshua had taken over. Joshua was about to take the children of Israel to cross over the Jordan to go in to possess the promised land. You remember that? And Joshua stood on the shore and he said to the people, choose you this day who you would serve, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. How many know Joshua made that proclamation over his house?
Yeah.
And he gave that to the children of Israel. And he said, choose this day whom you will serve, the gods of the land or the God that we know, Jehovah God. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I believe you can make that proclamation over your house and over your generations. And don't be swayed by what you see, because what you do, what you model, and what you show to them as a level of importance matters. Amen?
Yeah.
And so when they got ready to cross over, they crossed over with a mercy seat. And he said, when the priests step into the water carrying a mercy seat, he said, the waters are going to roll back all the way to the city of Adam, and you're going to walk across on dry ground. How many know when they come out of Egypt, Moses had a rod in his hand? And he said to Moses, he said, stretch out that rod, and the waters are going to roll back. How many know the waters of the Red Sea rolled back, and the children of Israel walked across on dry ground? But it's the same rod he used to smote the rock when Jesus told him to speak to the rock. How many know sometimes we want to take the rod and smite things, or out of anger or out of frustration make things happen, when God says, just speak to me. You don't have to beat the ground. You don't have to make things happen. But he said, just speak to the rock. And so when Joshua gets ready to cross over to the Jordan, he doesn't cross over with a rod. He crosses over with a mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant in his hand, and a priesthood that goes before the people showing a way. How many know that Ark of the Covenant had the mercy seat that was blood sprinkled on it? It was the picture of Jesus that was yet to come, our heavenly mercy seat. And when they step into the Jordan, the waters roll all the way back. And the people began to walk across on dry ground. But he said to them, when you get ready to cross over, he said, I want somebody from every tribe to reach down and pick up a rock on the way through. Come on, we got some tribes in here today. I want you to reach down and pick up a rock on your way through, because when you get to the other side, he said, I want you to pile them up in a pile and put them in a monument, make a memorial, make a rock pile. So that when the generations are yet to come, look back at that rock pile and say, what means that rock pile? He said, then you can say to the generations, that's the faithfulness of God in our life. That's the miracles of God in our life. That's the day we crossed over into our promised land. That's the day when God spoke healing over my body. That's the day when God gave me peace and comfort. That's the day God met me on the side of the road. That's the day when God made miracles in my life. That's my rock. Come on, somebody, we need some rock piles piled up around here. You need to grab a hold of a rock today and say, that's my moment. That's my day. That's my opportunity when I found Jesus. Hallelujah. And take you a memorial across and pile it up, so that he said, when the generations come and say, what means that pile of rocks? You say, that was a faithfulness of God to your grandma, your grandpa, your great-greats, and the patriarchs and the matriarchs of old that have gone before us, that left us some rock piles. Come on, somebody. I got some rock piles in my yard. I got some things where some generations have piled up some rocks and said, that's the day that God saved an alcoholic. That's the day that God delivered a drug addict. That's the day that God broke the chains of oppression off of a family. And that's what those rock piles mean. Come on, somebody, we got some rock piles. We got some testimony. That's why our testimony is so powerful. Hallelujah. I remember sitting beside Stephanie's bed and not knowing if she was going to make it or not, but speaking life over her and said, you will live and declare the glory of the Lord. And she's sitting here today. Come on, there's been some times where we've had to hang on to something. Hallelujah, we've had to hang on to something. We've seen some miracles. And yes, we've had some loss. But I want to tell you that even in loss, I have seen the grace of God and the power of God and impartation of God. We don't sit here today by ourselves, but Hebrews 12 says we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses that are saying to you, let us run the race that is set before us. Because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. They cheer us on to do what God has purposed in our life to do. What mean these rocks? What mean these rocks in this pile? I said, that's nothing but the goodness of God who brought us into our heavenly promised land and to a place of rest and glory with him. I don't know about you, but I got some rocks this morning. People say you got rocks in your head. Maybe I do. But those rocks are good memories and good memorials and good testimonies and witnesses of the faithfulness of God in our life. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We have a piece of property that we are living on that was a piece of property that belonged to Dan's dad when he came out of the war, and it was a piece of property that have, and that's where we live today. And we moved a foundation that was on there. How many know somebody had physically picked up every one of those rocks and laid them in that foundation? It wasn't put together by mortar. They were stacked and placed and put in there. I mean, there was a lot of memories in those stones.
Yeah.
And even in that, used to be a barn there. And we dug up things out of that. We plowed that up to make a garden. And in that, we found old horseshoes. And we found old handles from doors. And we found things in there. And we found an old shoe. And I think I shared this before. We found an old sole of a shoe that was in that dirt. And I said, there, buried down under that dirt some time ago was an old soul. But God saw fit to unearth that old soul and dig it up out of there and bring it to the light. How many know there's sometimes we think that are buried and past, and all of a sudden God reaches in and brings back a memory or brings back something to your remembrance. Amen. Of those days gone by when somebody intentionally put a stone in place and set up a memorial. Amen. And so I just want to read to you a little bit this morning about Thanksgiving. I shared the scripture last week in a different format. We talked about God of the gap last week. Anybody remember God of the gap? And the God of the gap is the God that fills the space from the promise to the fulfillment of that. Anybody ever been in the gap? Miss Linda was just talking about being in the gap and moments of knowing prophecies, and we shared some things yesterday, knowing prophecies but waiting to such a time. And the scripture said last week that Sarah, at the appointed time, how many know God has an appointed time? It's not always our time, but at the appointed time, God brings back to Sarah. He gives her the promise, and he said, about this time next year, at the appointed time, Sarah will embrace a child. And so he gave her the promise, and Sarah laughs at the promise, said, how can I, old woman as I am, give Abraham a child? And yet we come over into chapter 21 of Genesis and said, God has made me to laugh again, and all of those who hear of this will laugh with me. How many know it was the fulfillment of the promise that God had given? But somewhere in between the promise and the fulfillment, there's the gap where we have faith and hope and trust that God will perform what he said that he would perform. You ever been in the gap before? Amen. God's timing is always right on time. But sometimes in that space, we say, God, how can this be? And the response of the angel to Sarah is there anything too hard for God? Amen? Is there anything too hard for God? And so we trust him in those times in between. But before that, I read the scripture. It says, and this is out of Psalms 100, I think one of the greatest psalms about being thankful, having a heart of gratitude. Gratitude is more about being thankful for what you have, and thankful is being grateful for what's being given to you. And so it's a fine line, I believe, between those things. But how many know what causes a Christian maturity in us is when we're thankful for what we don't have? I mean, you can be thankful for what you have, and you can be grateful for where you are, but when a sign of real Christian maturity says, I'm thankful for what I don't have, I'm thankful for what I know God is going to do, then even when I don't see it and I'm somewhere in between the gap, I got the promise, but I don't have the fulfillment, being able to be thankful in between and say, God, I know you got this. I know you've got me covered. I know you can work in the midst of this. And Psalms 100, 1 through 5 says, on your feet now, applaud God. Come on, somebody, we need to give God a hand today. We need to applaud God and say, thank you. Bring a gift of laughter. Sing yourself into his presence. Know this, God is God, and God, he has made us. We didn't make him. We're his people, his well-tended sheep. Enter with the password, thank you. Enter with the password, thank you. Have you ever played that game? What's the password? You can't come in. What's the password? Please and thank you. I mean, he talks about entering into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. He said, enter with the password, thank you. Because when we come approach God, you know, I even a lot of times have changed my how I approach prayer and say, God, I just come to thank you for healing today. That I know is already taking place in my body. I'm just going to thank you because I know that you're touching my kids right now. I'm going to thank you, God, because I know provision is already on the way before the need ever comes about. You know, the scripture tells us that even before we pray, God knows our need even before we pray. But sometimes we got to enter with the password, thank you. Thank you, Lord, because being thankful changes our attitude and even changes our needs and desires. How many knows there's a difference between need and want? Need has a whole lot shorter list most of the time than want does. Amen? What we need and what we want are two different things. And so, you know, we know that it says enter with the password, thank you. Make yourself at home talking praise. Get comfortable giving God praise. Make yourself at home talking praise, letting praise be what comes out of our lips. And Joe already alluded to this a little bit. We can talk about negativity all you want to, but we know God is sovereign. We know God is on the throne. We know the kingdom is on his shoulders. We know he's got us covered, and we can talk about negativity, or we can say, I know that God is God, and if he can feed Elijah with the ravens, he can feed me. If he can give water out of a rock, he can give me water to drink. If he can roll back a Red Sea, he can make a path in the wilderness for me. I mean, oh, that's talking praise. That's reminding ourselves how good God is and how much other stuff sometimes doesn't matter. Does it mean that we don't take notice of what's going around us? No, it doesn't mean that. But I was thinking about the scripture yesterday when the prophet Samuel was getting ready to go anoint David as king. And God comes to Samuel, he said, how long are you going to mourn over what used to be? How long are you going to mourn over Saul? And what he's saying to them, and he says to him, how long are you going to mourn, Samuel, over what used to be? Here's what I need you to do, man of God. I need you to fill your horn with oil and get up and go. I mean, no, we can sit around and talk about what used to be, or we can rise up as a horn filled with the anointing of the Holy Spirit and get up and go lay hands on a new kind of leadership that raises up, that not only goes to the battle to take food, but he goes with his slingshot in his hand and says, whatever the need is, I'll go. Because we can talk a whole lot of talk, but I believe what will change atmospheres, change cultures, is when anointed people who are filled with oil, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, rise up and start empowering a generation that can rise up and be giant slayers. Come on, somebody. He said, you can either sit around and mourn over what used to be, or you can get up as a man of God with a horn full of oil and said, I'm anointed. I'm going to live out of the resources of the Holy Spirit inside of me. Fear has no place in my mind. It has no place in my heart. And destruction and depression and despair have got to go because I'm so full of oil, I don't have room for it. We can be so filled up. He said, fill your horn with oil and go. And he said, when you get to the house of Jesse, and I laughed about this yesterday, God never told Samuel who to anoint. He said, I'm going to raise up somebody out of the house of Jesse to make him king. And I thought, Lord, you couldn't have just like added one more verse, you know, one more line to that and said, it's going to be David. Maybe Samuel wouldn't have gone if he'd have realized it was going to be the littlest kid of the pack that was going to get anointed. And so he goes, sends him to the house, and he goes to the house, and he begins to lay hands on the men in Jesse's house. And he finally says, Jesse, do you have any more sons? He said, yeah, I got the little guy who's out keeping the sheep. He said, well, bring him in, because God specifically told me there's a man of God in your house that's going to lead nations. Go and get him and bring him in. And when he brings in David, Samuel said, that's the man. That's the man. And maybe had you told me before I got there, I'd had a different opinion. But when he felt the anointing in David, there's something about the anointing of the prophet that connected, I believe, with the anointing in David. And he said, you're the man. How many know God anointed a man who had a heart after God? The scripture said David had a heart after God. And I'll take people anytime who have a great heart that have the best of talents or the best of showmanship or whatever. If the heart is right, everything else will fall into place. Yeah. Let me tell you, when you're finding somebody that you want to pour into, find somebody who's got a heart for it. Amen? Because God will bring the talent. He'll bring the anointing. He'll bring everything else if the heart is right. And so he comes to the house and he anoints a man named David to stand up and be king over Israel. We can mourn for what used to be, or we can stand up and say, God, you are doing something new, and you are anointing men and women of God that are full of the anointing, that have not only had it poured on their head, but it's coming out of their heart, because David had a heart for sheep. How many know he cared about God's people? Hallelujah. Yeah. And so we must be a people that live out of our anointing and not out of our emotions. And everybody said, amen. It's not always easy, but he said, enter with the password, thank you. Make yourselves at home talking praise. Thank him. Worship him. For God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal always, and ever, and forever. How many know God is loyal? He's faithful now and forever. I'm going to skip through some stuff because I've already preached stuff I didn't have down, but I'm going to go to Luke chapter 17, 11 through 19. Lisa, if you can bring that one up for me. It happened as he made his way toward Jerusalem, it's talking about Jesus, he crossed over the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men, all lepers, met him. They kept their distance but raised their voices, calling out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Taking a good look at them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. They went, and while still on their way, became clean. One of them, when he realized that he was healed, turned around and came back shouting his gratitude, glorifying God. He kneeled at Jesus' feet, so grateful. He couldn't thank him enough, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus said, were not 10 healed? Where are the 9? Can none be found to come back and give glory to God except this outsider? Then he said to him, get up on your way. Your faith has healed and saved you. It said he came into a certain village between Samaria and Galilee. How many know he found Peter the disciple and some of the fishermen in Galilee? But Samaria was considered an unclean area, and they were considered as dogs by the Jews. They were not friends. They were not connected. And they were considered unclean to the Jews because they were considered a mix. How many know Jesus was not afraid of the Samaritans? He crossed cultural lines. He crossed religious lines. He crossed borders. Amen? And he came into the city, and it said there were 10 lepers there who cried out, Jesus, Master. They didn't say heal us. He said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. How many are thankful for a merciful God? Yes. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. because they were unclean. What they really needed to yell out was to say, don't come any closer, we're unclean. We have leprosy, and you can't come near to us. But they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And Jesus speaks a word and heals the lepers and sends them to show themselves to the priest, because before they could ever be pronounced clean and go back into society, they had to have a priest write off on them to cleanse them, to clear them from that. But the scripture said that while they're on their way, they realize that they have been cleansed and made whole and healed. And one of them, when they realize that they've been made whole, said, wait a minute. Before I go any farther in my journey, I got to go back to where I was. And I got to say, I'm going to enter with a password, and I'm going to say, thank you. Thank you. Probably many of us sitting here today could say, God, thank you that you've cleansed my spots. Thank you that you've made me whole. Thank you that you've not left me an outcast. Thank you that when you speak, I am made whole, made clean, and made new. Old things are passed away, and all things become new. I mean, you know, when Jesus washes us with his blood, we become clean and whole and new and become a new creature in Christ Jesus, and all things are passed away. Thank you. Thank you. I don't need a priest to certify me. I can see the works of God in my life. Amen. I don't need somebody else to tell me I've been made new. I don't need somebody else to tell me I've been saved. I don't need somebody else to tell me I've been healed. I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know. Hallelujah. I have received his healing. I have received his cleansing. I have received his touch. And all I can say is thank you. All I can say is thank you. Enter in his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth is what? To all generations. He's just as powerful to our generations as he was to the generations before us, to the ones that are after us. Hallelujah. And so when I leave here today, I got to tell you, I'm going to leave with a rock in my hand. I'm going to leave with a rock in my hand and say thank you. And may my generations know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. May they know the patriarchs. May they know the goodness of God. In the land of the living, may they experience everything that Jesus paid for on the cross. He has made accessible to us. And when we leave with a rock in our hand, it's a memorial to those to say, the same God yesterday, today, and forever. If he'll do it for me, if he'll do it for you, if he'll do it for you, then he'll do it for them. Amen. And we raise up a standard and memorial that says, God, we remember today your thankfulness. We remember today with thankfulness your goodness. We remember your faithfulness. It's a week to reflect on the pilgrims coming here to this land. Why? Because they wanted freedom. Freedom from religion, freedom from tyranny, freedom from the land that they lived in. We asked our kids in class this week, we said, now, we've read lots of stories. We talked a lot of things about pilgrims and the Indians and coming to a new land and all of that kind of stuff. And we said, now, what was the name of the ship that the pilgrims came over on? Y'all know the name of the ship? They said, the Cauliflower. I said, close enough. Yeah, close enough. The pilgrims came over on the Cauliflower. That's the only thing they could connect it with. I promise we did say the Mayflower over and over and over again, but they came here and they endured a lot of stuff to get to this place. But greater than that, how many know Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice for us? And I don't believe we have to live less than, in a less than attitude, but we can live in a heart of thanksgiving and gratefulness and say, Jesus, you paid it all. And I'm going to choose today to reflect on what's good about my life, what's good, what you've done in me, what is good and profitable. I'm gonna focus on those things because you got everything else under control. Amen? I'm just going to praise you for where we are because I know you got everything else under control because we trust you. Amen? Let's stand this morning as Beth is coming and the kids are coming up. And let's just take a moment as she sings to just reflect on the goodness of God, the thankfulness of God. And if you're still trusting God for something, I just want you to thank him for where you are, what he's doing right now, and what he's working on your behalf. Amen? You might not see everything that you want to see yet, but we trust God to take us in the journey and to provide everything that we need because his goodness endures to all generations. Hallelujah.